This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Revolution Beauty. Revolution Beauty is an affordable and accessible makeup for all. Since day one, Revolution has been challenging beauty norms and championing diversity.
All products are 100% cruelty-free and designed based on consumer feedback. So Revolution has something for every skin type and any occasion. And that is so great for me, Sasha, because my skin, it doesn't know what it wants to do. But I do love that they have a skincare kit for whatever you need, whether it's a blemish or oil, and their color palettes. Have you seen those?
Y'all know I love me some color, and that includes on my face.
So absolutely.
Now that summer is coming, I'm ready for all of the vibrant eyeshadows and all of the fun color palettes. I'm ready to go.
And Revolution definitely has something for us.
So we are teaming up with Revolution Beauty to give you 20% off your next purchase by using the code PODGO20. That code is PODGO20 at revolutionbeauty.us. Check out the link in our show notes and join the revolution today. Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning into us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are drinking a red. We are actually drinking a red blend. And I feel like that's kind of been the norm this season. I feel like we've had more blends.
I mean, I don't know whether it's because I just am scared to venture off into any more Cab Sav territory anymore. But yes,
we've had. I don't know why. If I'm willing into Chardonnay land.
Excuse me, Sasha. We had a month of Cab Savs in a row, not to mention the ones that we sprinkled throughout.
It's been a year.
It doesn't feel like it.
And we have to like venture into Pinot Noir and Shiraz territory.
I love it. We have had Shiraz. Pinot Noir.
I think we've only had one though.
All right. I'll look at the list, but I mean, we can always make amendments to the list, but a red blend usually captures everything.
Yes. So we're drinking a brand called Seven Moons, and we are drinking, they actually have two red blends. We're drinking just their straight red blend, but they also have a dark side red blend. That's what we originally wanted to try, but I couldn't find it.
I couldn't either.
So it says that Seven Moons celebrates the phases of the moons by combining seven grape varietals into smooth, fruity, and easy to drink wine. So this one is a Syrah, a Merlot, a Petite Syrah, Zinfandel, a Cab, a Malbec, and a Grenache.
You've had a Grenache before. Yeah. We had a blend that had a lot of Grenache.
Oh, I was going to say, can you have just a straight wine of that?
I'm sure you can, but I don't think you'd like it.
So this one says that it opens with aromas of chocolate covered cherries. It has baking spices and vanilla bean, flavors of strawberry preserves, cherry cola, and milk chocolate. Followed, this sounds very dessert like, and
it is. It's not sweet, but
fruit flavored and lingering finish. It pairs well with a broad range of foods, from barbecue chicken and capri salad to takeout Chinese.
Sasha, try it. Go ahead. Try it.
I see, that's not encouraging.
Sasha does not like sweet wines, but it's not sweet. It's a blend. It's a very light blend in terms of like how it hits my palate. But all of those tastes, like all of those hints and notes, I can taste.
So it's not, I don't mind it. I'll start there. It's not sweet, but I definitely feel
it tastes like licorice.
The cherry cola.
Yes. I was like, it tastes like licorice. And I don't like licorice.
Like red licorice or black licorice?
No.
Like Twizzlers?
Never would I be like unhappy about Twizzlers. No, I'm talking about red licorice. I mean, I'm talking about the black licorice, the one that I don't know. No, but I do.
It's not bad.
All of the things they said to me, you know, what pops out, and this might be shout out to my child's school because I've had Baker's chocolate in my house for no reason because they did taste. Like, that's what it is. It tastes like a mix of like that sweet with a little bit of bitter, but not. It's to be sweet.
In its notes, it says like milk chocolate, chocolate covered cherries, baking spices, like. I feel like this is, we're baking a dessert.
Yeah.
A strawberry chocolate something or other.
It's a dessert. It's a dessert. And it's basically all the ingredients of a dessert minus the sugar, because it's not sweet.
Because it's not
sweet.
But
it's got all the ingredients. It's like a deconstructed dessert in a glass.
But now I really want to have some like shrimp fried rice to see, because I feel like it probably would go well with it.
I mean, what I think that says, though, is that it's a very... This would be, as we've been figuring out, a lot of these wines that we've had recently are good gift wines, because they're not horrible for any, like, you could take this to someone's housewarming and be like, here you go. Mm-hmm. And it tastes good. It's not too sweet. It's not too whatever. It is kind of it gets the job done, and it's 13.5%. So it definitely gets the job done. Sasha approved.
And that's always the most important part of any wine that we drink.
Absolutely.
But today, so we have a guest on today, and we are talking with Amanda, who is a trained mental health therapist turned parenting coach at messymotherhood.com. She says, as a mom and a recovering yeller herself, she knows what it's like to lose it on your kids. Don't we all? Uh-huh. And with over 18 years of experience working with children and families, and her insights, tools, and gentle guidance, she's been able to help thousands of parents around the world stop the yelling and create amazing relationships with their kids. She is a nomadic military wife and mom to two boys, 11 and 8 years old. And if you haven't gathered, what we are talking about is how to not lose our shit with our kids. That's really like, what it boils down.
It's like, basically, it's like, how do I not, like, lose my mind when my child wants me to lose my mind? Because that's what they want. They know. My child looks me in my face and deliberately will say, no, I'm going to go over here. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never been disrespected more in my life.
So welcome, Amanda, to the show.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here. I love you guys, and I'm thrilled to be a guest on your podcast. It's fun.
Yeah, we are so excited. So we definitely wanted to talk to you when you, if you guys don't know, if you listen to the show, when we put out a call for guests, we get like up to like 50, 60-ish people putting in to be guests on the show. And while we would love to have everybody on the show, and that would mean that Sheree and I just wouldn't talk ever. But what caught our eye when we were reading what you sent, it was like how to stop yelling at your kids and how to really be more of that positive parenting aspect where you're not having that type of adversarial relationship with your kids. I guess more like, I don't know how Sheree grew up, but more like how I grew up, like how you think your typical 90 kid grew up.
I was going to say, Sasha always talks about my, look, Amanda, Sasha talks about my parenting, because what you'll find is that I probably was raised very similarly to what you are trying to teach, because, or trying to help people to get to, because I didn't have a horrible, like, yelling relationship with my mom. I had an ability to talk and speak my mind, and Sasha and my husband are like, what do you mean? Like, I would be like, hey, mom, don't yell at me. You're yelling at me. And she's like, well, you're right. And like, we would both stop talking loud. And so they were like, what? What are you doing?
If I ever told my mother, you're yelling at me, like,
so it has created a monster in me in which I don't do well with people yelling at me at all at any part of my life, because, and my quote is, my own mother doesn't yell at me, so I just need you to know that what you will not do is that.
But so let's start there, like, in your opinion, because I can think of reasons why, but why, when you're working with your parents, why do parents, when they get angry, is it their first, most of the time, their first instinct?
Why do we yell?
Why do we yell? Very loaded question. And there's so many reasons why we yell at our kids. And a lot of times we yell because we were yelled at. Potentially, you know, it's a cyclical thing, a generational thing. I know that was the truth for me, is that my mother was a yeller and a very loud, and so much so that I'm like, was fearful of my mother even as a child. Mm-hmm. Even now, I'm like, I don't want to push her buttons because she will lose it. And that's just what she's always been. And so there is some of that where it's like this generational thing. But it's also, you know, we get triggered by things that cause us to get angry that we may not even be aware of. Sometimes our child will trigger things in us that were not okay for us to do as children, and that trigger us from, like, you know, when we were children. So there's just a bunch of reasons why we yell, and awareness is really a big part of stop yelling. You know, yeah. I say that a lot of times parents walk around with blinders on to their own triggers. Like for me, the biggest one for me was loud noises. Like if there's a bunch of stuff going on in the background, or my kids are being super loud, plus the radio's playing, plus, you know, the washer and dryer are running and all this stuff is happening. And I will like, oh, it's like so much. And I'm like,
oh, you're me.
And then my child just asked me one question and I completely explode. Right. And so if I can, you know, knowing your triggers is really key, but there's so many reasons why parents yell, but we oftentimes just want to say that my kid did something and so I yell. But
I can definitely see that, because like Stokely, like Sheree said, Stokely's definitely not anywhere close to being a bad kid at all. Mm-mm. Like he's the most laid back kid. But really what true. I find that he does that does trigger me, he's at the age, he's three, so he's very much repetitive. So it's a mommy, 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 mommy. And then like he also is very bossy because he's an only child. He wants to control how you play and how conversation goes. So it's like, mommy, ask me what I'm doing. And then, what are you doing, Stokely? I'm doing this. Ask me why. Say why, Stokely. And it's like, and then sometimes I'm just like, can you just get to the point of whatever it is that you're trying to say?
Don't tell me what to do, sir.
Yeah,
little sir, don't do that.
And Sasha, I wish that would get better. But like, even at 8 and 11, my kids are still like, I'm like, just get to the point. Just tell me what you want to tell me, because they can take forever. But yeah, but when you have a child who's asking all those questions over and over and over again, and you're just like, stop, you know.
And I don't yell at him. I don't think I probably have raised my voice, but I've never really yelled.
Sasha doesn't yell because Sasha has the stern mom voice that terrifies people. Yeah. She terrified my child before. Like she was just like, and she didn't yell. She was just like, Brendan, your parents told you to sit down. She was
will bend down and look you right in the eye, and in my quiet voice will say, what did I just tell you to do? I need you to listen to me right now.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I was just like, for like a good, maybe not even 6 months, my son, he loves Stokely. He loves Aunt Sasha.
He's scared of me.
But he was like, I was like, you want to say hi to Aunt Sasha? Hey, He wouldn't, like, we would come over and it was like, this is Aunt Sasha's. And he was like, let's go. He stood at the door, was like, we don't need to do this. It's fine. But he loves to, it's like, it was just one of those days. I was like, I mean, she ain't getting ready to like bite you.
But I noticed, like with Stokely, it's not so much that I have the feeling that I want to yell at him, but I do feel that trigger of annoyance. Like it's just like, okay, can you just like, and I'll look at mijo, like basta, like whatever you're doing, enough, like just stop it. Like, and I can tell when he perceives me as being annoyed, because he'll say, mommy, don't do that. Like, mommy, don't say it like that. Like, because he can't
take it. See, this is my stuff. We're going to have some, Lord, let me just tell you. So, and on the other opposite side is I have the kid who loves to like play and touch and hug and jump and run. He's the one who I'm like, okay, so mommy's tired, sweetie. You are like, I can't play anymore. I am tired. You can't rough house with me. Like I've told him, hey, you got to play gentle. He's sweet and caring and compassionate, but his play is like, oh no, we're getting into like hands-on and like loud fun, jumping over here, running through the house, screaming. Like them two would get together and just run around in circles. And I was just like, so this is like what our life is about to be for the rest of our, like, no.
I have one of each. Like my older son is like my rule follower. He's easygoing. I can just like talk to him and he's like, okay, mom. And then, you know, my younger child is like bouncing off the walls, always wants to be on top of me. And he's my more emotional kid. So I have to like treat them very differently, even though our boundaries are the same, the rules are the same, but the way I go about it with each of my kids is very, very different because they have different needs.
I think that's actually really important to can you say more on like the boundaries are the same, but you come at it at different points, because I think that is one thing that we as parents,
we think our children are the same. So what, and I, we only have one right now, but just from,
I want to have more.
You must have more. But I imagine from when you have more than one kid, it's like, well, it worked with this one, so I can just do it with this one. Why isn't it working?
Or it worked with me. I remember it worked with, like, I've babysat, and like, we have experience with children. Most of us have had experience with kids, and we're like, this has worked. Why isn't this working? What is, and then we get frustrated because it's not working.
Right. And it's understanding your kids. Like my older kid, who is, like I said, he's a very black and white kid. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. We are always telling him that he doesn't have to parent his brother because you know, he's that rule follower kind of kid. And so for him, if I just make something make logical sense, he's like, okay, mom. Like, I remember even at 3 years old, I could be like, okay, bud, like, this is why we're not going to do this. Do you understand? And he's like, oh yeah, totally.
That's Stokely. That's 100% Stokely.
See, like, she literally has like, Stokely and Brendan. This is perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
My younger son, I have to be a little more empathetic. We have to talk a little bit more about feelings. I can't just approach him with, hey, I need you to go do this. Or, hey, I need you to stop getting upset or whatever. It's more like, hey, I see that you're having a really hard time. I see you don't want to stop. I've got to like acknowledge the feeling. It takes a little bit more work. I've got to, you know, and it's not like I'm coaxing him. It's more of like,
you're validating him
before I give him direction. Mm-hmm. Whereas my older son needs that logical piece before I give him the direction.
That's Brendan. She got Stokely and Brendan. She does. This is so beautiful. You definitely do. No, that's literally what I found. And that's where I clash with, I sometimes clash with my parents, not so much my in-laws or anyone else. And I guess I will say probably my in-laws, because my mother-in-law had three boys and one girl. So like for her, noise and like jumping off of stuff, I'm sitting there and I've seen
it her. It don't
like,
faze her. It probably don't faze her at all.
She sits there. She's like, hey, let's sit down and be calm. And I said, this has never worked for me. How in the world are you doing this? And like, but I have to do that where I'm like, I have to validate his feelings. Like I noticed that he's a perfectionist, and it's very confusing because he likes to be like all over the place. But when he's doing something, he focuses in, he likes it to be good. Mm-hmm. And if he can't, he gets frustrated. You can just see him like, you know, start to, and I'm like, oh, okay, let's breathe. Mm-hmm. I understand. Like I have to do a lot of that. I see you're upset. Tell me how you feel. Use your words, all of that. Mm-hmm. And my mother is like, no, why he just needs to stop. And I'm like, no, mom, I don't know how you expect him to know. If he's three, he does not know how to stop. Right. He's never been taught how to stop.
Right. And our kids have and it sounds like I said, our kids are very similar, my younger one. And it's almost like he has sensory needs, right? Like he is jumping, he is moving, he is. And so if I try to stop him, it's like trying to cap a volcano. Like he's just going to explode. I need to give him alternate ways to get that stuff out. That's what I feel like I'm doing with him all the time is like, yes, you may do this, but in this way, like I'm redirecting him, his energy, I'm redirecting his emotions, I'm redirecting and redirecting from like a negative behavior into like a more positive, appropriate behavior. And so that's what I have to do with him all the time. And that's not to say my older son isn't emotional, because he absolutely is. And he can be, especially when the rules aren't followed or things didn't go his way or plans get broken. Josh is like, yeah, my kid. and so I still have to use some empathy and we still have to talk about it. But again, if I can just make the emotions make sense, if I'm like, hey, buddy, we all get upset. This is normal. You know, you've seen me get upset. You've seen dad get upset. This is just how humans react, right? And it's logical. He's like, oh, so this is normal.
I literally had that same conversation with my son 2 days ago. We were getting ready to go out of town and we bought him a suitcase so he could take to my mom's house. And the suitcase was downstairs. And I brought the suitcase upstairs during nap time. Mm. And so after he woke up, he sees the suitcase upstairs. And he's like, mommy, the suitcase goes downstairs. And I'm like, no, it stays up here. Lost a shit. Completely like flipped out, crying so hard because the suitcase belonged downstairs. And he's mommy, it goes downstairs. And he's like inconsolably upset about this. And at first I was like, okay, stop touching the suitcase, because you're trying to like mess with the little handle. I said, you know, stop touching it. You need to go sit in your chair and just take time out, like calm down. And he would like get himself together for a quick second and then again just like immediately lose it. Mm-hmm. And he was doing this for probably about 10 minutes to the point where I was like, okay, you can get out of the chair. Like, come sit with mommy. Like, let's okay. And when we were done, like when he finally like got himself together, I was like, you seemed like you had big feelings.
Yes. I love that. That is my favorite phrase.
Me too.
Those you have, you're having some big feelings right now. Like, it's just like, it sounds crazy though.
And literally like that night though, while I was putting him to bed, like he was fine after that. And I was putting him to bed. He's like, mommy, I had big feelings today. And I was like, yes, you did. And I said, it's okay to have big feelings. And I, you know, but because he's still only three, it's, and you know, during this whole time, I'm just getting frustrated. I'm just like, get it together. Like, why the hell is this so,
like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, like, it's a suitcase. Like, I'm like, we have given my child a complex, because if things aren't where exactly they're supposed to be, like, he loses his shit.
But he got a complex, but it's okay. We all have given our children something. So,
but I have to like remind myself, and you know, I'm trying to tell him, like, mommy knows you. And he even said it, you know, he was like, well, I don't know all of the words, like, to say, you know, what he was feeling. And I said, it's okay. And I said, you know, if you don't know all of the words, you can just say, mommy, I'm upset, or mommy, you know, I'm mad, or I don't like this, or something like that. But even at three, for him to be just so eloquently be able to say, I don't know the words, I just know that I didn't like what was going on. Yeah.
See, and my son knows the words, like, I'm upset. He will be able to say that. He'll say, I'm mad. He will say, I'm mad, but not only will he say, I'm mad, he will then act out, I'm mad, because he has to cross his arms, turn away. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah. I had to learn that when he does that, because my reaction is, who the hell do you think you are? Right. And I'm like, ooh, back up, hold on. Because he's like, no. And
oh, yeah, this was also the first time Stokely yelled at me, because I said that suitcase goes downstairs. And he said, no, mommy, it goes downstairs. And I said, who are you yelling at?
Like, I was just like, with those feelings.
He sat in that little chair and said, I'm sorry, mommy, I'm sorry.
See, and that's the thing. I get all of the, like, you know, mommy, I'm calm down now. Like, he will, like, I'm like, no, you need to sit down. The thing that I'm trying to teach him, and I have no clue how to do this, so I'm just going at the seat of my pants, but if I don't have it when I want it, then he will surely just deny himself. So if he wants to play with a toy, and I'm like, Brendan, hold on, just wait 2 minutes, you know, whatever, and we'll go and do something else. But then I'll say, okay, now you can have it. It's like, whatever was happening, he's like, no. And I'm like, so you don't want to play with the toy? And then like later, he's like, 2 seconds later, yes, I do. And I was like, so see, this is where you're going to lose out in things. The natural consequences is someday, stubborn. I was like, you're going to miss out on something because you're in school.
That kind of leads me though into my next question about why, you know, we have these triggers as parents. And I think a lot of I think what happens, a lot of our triggers are, or where our frustrations come, when our kids don't listen.
Yes.
And so why I know probably at younger ages, like our kids' age, you know, it does take them a while to follow directions, because I feel like it just takes a while to make it in their brain and out before it actually process it. So like, why don't they just listen
when you speak?
Why don't they listen?
like well, this is like the number one.
You are so quick to hear something else. Like, you will hear your favorite thing immediately.
Like, if I turn on Cocomelon and they've done the little app thing, running out the room. I'm like, I've actually asked the question. So, did you hear me? Mm-hmm. What did I say? He will repeat it back, and I'm like, so you just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a few different reasons why kids don't listen. Sometimes it is like Sasha said, like, they just haven't gotten it in their brain yet, and they haven't taken the steps to do the thing. And parents are like, do it now. And they want like more immediate results, especially, I say younger kids, but even older kids sometimes need time to like process, or if they're in the middle of something, to wrap it up, move on to the next thing. Those transition times can be difficult for all involved. But sometimes we have kids who just refuse, right? Who are like, no, you can't make me. I mean, have you ever kid who's been like,
oh,
crosser. Uh-huh. I was like, what are you going to do about it? Right.
Oh, Lord.
That is called, that's something in the, that's called a counter will. And it's something that every single person in this world feels. It's whenever you are in a relationship with someone, whether it be like a friendship, a loving relationship, parent-child relationship, doesn't matter. And you just aren't happy with that person right now for whatever reason. And they ask you to do something and you're like, no, screw you. Like, I'm not going to do that for you right now.
That's my child. He is, I can see that he has way more screw you in him than I ever had.
And some kids do. And some humans, I mean, as an adult, I'm sure we've all felt that way. Yeah. Where it's like, we're mad at our husband or our spouse for doing something. And they're like, hey, will you mind doing that thing for me? And you're like,
no, I will starve.
You're throwing a fit about it. You're slamming cabinets. You're, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. That
if
is
you're depending on me to cook, I will sooner starve.
Exactly. I sat in a car once listening to White Noise on a radio because I was pissed at my husband and refused to change the station.
And that it was literally a
10-hour car ride.
I never do the say. Can you say this word again? What is it?
It's counter will.
Oh my gosh. I now have a word for, because I used to just be like, this is stubborn as hell. But yeah, that's it. No.
And so our kids have it. And it's almost like this protective measure of not wanting to be coerced or being told what to do. Right. So it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's a protective thing. It's a human nature thing. So trying to change it isn't really going to work. And that's what power struggles come from. So you tell a kid what to do and they dig in their heels. It's oftentimes caused by a counter will. And counter will is caused by kind of two different things. The first one is basically when you've kind of taken all their power away because you keep telling them what to do over and over. Like you become that drill sergeant where you're telling your kid what to do all day. And all of a sudden they're like, screw you. No, they may not say that, but like,
no, I mean, they don't say it, but
that's
they
what they're feeling. They're thinking it.
You feel it, right?
Like we said, we know that they don't have words, but we know what they're saying.
They don't have the word. They don't have the word through you, but they're definitely thinking it.
Yeah.
They're definitely like, you know what? I don't need this.
And the other reason why there's some counter will is if they're just not happy with you, if they're mad about you for something, if they're frustrated, you know, with life and they're taking it out on you, if there's just like maybe a disconnect in the relationship. And that's why so many like positive parenting people will say you need to connect first and that relationship is really important because if a child feels heard and accepted and valued and protected and all those wonderful things by their parent, they're going to be more likely to listen to them and want to comply with them. I mean, if you take all of this and put yourself in a relationship like with your spouse again, and you're in a really good place with your spouse, you're happy with them, you are feeling connected with them, and they want you to do something, you'll be like, whatever you want, I'll do any of it, right?
Yeah.
But when you're pissed, you're digging in your heels. So that's kind of the two main reasons why counter will happens.
That makes a lot of sense. And it leads me to another question, which is, we often get it, I'm not going to say wrong, but in this whole process, you get it wrong. Like there's times where I'm like, oh no, I'm yelled because I'm frustrated, or else I've like, you know what? I promise you, if you don't sit down, I'm going to whatever, or hit, or any of these things. And I'm like, this is not the way. Even when in the process, I can know it's not the way.
Yes.
But that doesn't stop us from doing it in that moment and trying to, and how do you help people to come back from that? Like, how do you repair that in that moment? Because it happens. I don't care how happy and loving I am, at some point I'm like, I'm a snap. I'm get snapped, and then I'm just gonna be like, ugh.
Because God knew what he was doing giving me my son. Because if I had the type of son who crossed their arms and be like, no, I'd be like, oh, today's the day that I'm going to jail. Like, I don't, what are we doing with this?
I am so entertained. And see, and that's why I have my child. Because it's so entertaining, because I'm just like, I am all about natural consequences. So I have absolutely gone off and continued to play with the toy that he said he doesn't want anymore. And he's like, no, let's play. I said, no, you didn't want to play. Me and that's one thing across the board. I'm like, no, you didn't want to in school. They're not going to stop everything for you, so I'm going to continue coloring. And he just like, I need to, let me get myself together, I'm calm now, let's go ahead and color. Okay, thank you. Because I've just refused to like stop the world for your moment. I will address it, but I'm not.
Yeah, well,
how do we address that?
Yeah. So there's a few things. First of all, it's being, again, that's the awareness piece of your triggers, aware that you're getting upset in the first place. Because it, so I always like to use like an anger scale where five is, well, let's start with one. One is like your Zen mom, like cool, chill, happy, you know, just is awesome. Nothing's bothering that mom. And then you have the Hulk mom, who's like big green monster, screaming, yelling, raging at their kid, right? And a lot of times we're already at like your three or four throughout the day without even recognizing it. And we may already be agitated by other things that are happening or all of those, you know, noise triggers and stuff like that, that are just happening to us. And so when I'm working with my clients and students, like the first thing we focus on is all of that stuff that we can kind of take care of so that you're now operating at like a one or two instead of a, because you're going to get to five a whole lot easier if you're at a three and four, right? And so it's learning how to stay kind of towards that other end of the spectrum. And then it's learning some like mindset tricks. So much about staying calm and cool is about how you perceive yourself and your child and your child's behavior. So if you see your, so like my child, I don't remember it, it was last summer, but we were in the car and my older son turned to my younger son who was talking endlessly about whatever and said, "You just need to shut up." And I was like, "Oh no."
And I started sweating immediately.
Well, and he's usually such like an even keeled, this is my rule follower. He's not a rude kid. This is not how I respond.
Like, please so, stop talking. Thinking, huh? What did you just like, please stop talking.
Yeah. And so in my head, I'm sitting there thinking, this is so not like my kid. What is going on? Right. And so if I had it in my mindset that my child was a rude kid, and that he was disrespectful and he was that type of child, then I'm going to jump and be angry faster, right? But I know my child and I have this idea of him that he is not rude, that he is a kind child. Mm. And so when he does something that's rude, that doesn't match, I don't get angry, I get curious. I'm like, what is going on, right? And so I turned to him, I'm like, did you know that that was rude? He's like, well, that's what people in my class say when they want people to be quiet. You know, and he was just repeating back because he was in fourth grade at that time. He was just repeating back what he had learned in school. And so I could, so how I responded was based on how the story that I was telling myself about my child and his behavior. So when we're triggered, we have to be aware of our stories that we believe about ourselves and our child. That makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Look, I was like, that's all I do. And I work in a high school. I'm a therapist in a high school. And that's all I try to tell them. I'm like, whatever you say is happening is what's going to color how you react. I just never actually I never put that to my child though.
Yeah.
I mean, funny enough, like I said, the craziest thing about everything that goes on is I can do all of these things to like my high schoolers. I can do it with adults. For some reason, when you put it to children, it just, it like the complete disconnect. I'm like, huh.
Yeah. So my kind of like how, why I talk about yelling so much is because I'm a yeller. And I'm a freaking children's mental health therapist. I work with kids and young kids my entire adult life. Like I taught parents how to parent and how not to yell. I worked with traumatized kids. Like I knew all of this stuff. And then my child was three and my baby was one. And I was Hulk mom. I was like screaming and yelling and losing my shit all over my kids.
See,
that's like, it. What the hell? And I knew that I had to change. So that's
But the thing is that things. It's good to be able to say those things. Cause I'm like, as I'm a therapist. I work with children. I've worked with all this. I know child development. I know it. I know what is in the range of like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because my husband, bless his heart, thought that babies at 6 months should be walking. That tells you like, I'm the one who's going to be telling him like, hey, this is what to expect. I can do all of that. And yet still I'm over here screaming at the top of my lungs. And I'm like, I am not okay.
Yeah.
Why? And we don't have that. We do have that disconnect. So I just really love that. Like you said, to really, it made you curious, like put the story about like that. Cause I'm like, oh, I know if yeah. So just shut up. What?
And that's one of the grounding skills that I use with my clients is like these mindset tricks. Whenever you find yourself getting, you know, triggered by your kid's behavior, you need to say some mindset things like get curious, not furious. Like that's one of the things that we do. The acronym that we use in the program is called MEDS. I'm like, scream, I need my meds. And then you have to go through the acronym to figure out what you need to do. And one of the other ones is my child is having a hard time, not giving me a hard time. That's like, and so it's basically, I don't want to say you're tricking your mind, but you're changing your mindset about the situation, about your child, and it makes you take that pause.
Yeah.
And the other one is, this is not an emergency, because 99% of the time, this crap is not an emergency. You can take a second to pause and ground yourself before you take steps towards
something. Yeah. No, it's a shift.
I think that's part of the thing is that we expect our kids to be adults, like to process their emotions and handle the things that we are asking of them or the things that are happening to them as we would as adults, forgetting that, you know, at certain ages, they don't have the words to express how they feel. They don't have the capacity to really
They damn sure don't have the reason.
A lot of the time they don't know why.
Yeah,
they don't know why they're feeling what they're feeling. They just know they feel something.
And they don't know how to be like, I shouldn't hit somebody.
They can't do that. They're not.
They don't know that. Well, they don't know that. They don't even know that they're that. Like, there are some kids don't even recognize that. Hey, you understand that that's an adult. They're very much so bigger than you. You really can't fight them. Like, you can't hurt me. Stop.
I just watched a video this week. It was a teenager talking about how to parent a teen, which is really cool. And she mentioned that, you know, basically they have mood swings and they get emotional without the logic piece, because that brain is more developed than the logical piece. That doesn't happen until 25, you know that. So, so much older are kids able to actually like make logic before emotion. Emotion's always first. And so she's like, you know, we have these mood swings. We don't know why we're upset. We're just upset, right? And the best kind of parenting is just allowing us to be upset, because if you allow it, instead of like judging it and trying to make it stop, then we'll get out of it and we'll appreciate the fact that you didn't get mad at us about the emotions that we can't control, right? So even our teenagers, so we talk about, I know you guys talk about young kids so much, but even the teenagers very much struggle with emotional regulation. So this is a childhood experience. We need to be aware that emotions happen, and instead of trying to stop it, we need to hold space for those emotions and let our kids feel them. Because when they come back to us, that's when we can do the problem solving. That's when we can work things out. But a lot of times parents want to go straight into fixing, and they want to go straight into stopping this or help or fixing it. And their child's not ready to go there, and they get mad because they want their child to just stop it and let's fix it, let's move on. But their child can't fix it because they're still in their emotional space in their brain. And it just is impossible for them to get to that logical place.
Right. And I think that's
what happened with the suitcase.
Exactly. Like, you're just like, exactly. Just like lost his exactly. shit. And you're like, what? But no, Sasha, you didn't say something.
Like, I need to bring you back.
Like, sweetie, it's a suitcase. It's a suitcase.
You don't understand, but you really don't understand. He lost his shit so hard.
So the thing is that when she says this, I want you to understand that, because all I see is like, I see Stokely as like a real calm, laid back kid. I don't know what, I can't even fathom what lose his shit is. Like, she's seen Brendan lose his shit, so she can understand she's seen his sweet moments and his like, so when I say, I've not seen Stokely lose his shit. So I'm like, but no, and Sasha, you actually said something.
I can count on like one hand
how many times this happened. So the thing that you said, Sasha, and I do think it is important, is that we expect children, and a lot of times, and even especially like, even if we get into the nuances of like people of color, we expect our children to act and be older than they actually are. Yeah. And we really do forget that. But then, on the same note, tell them that they need to stay in a child's place, or like when they actually start to do the things as they grow up and they start to act older, now you're being grown. So it's like, it goes into like telling the stories that we tell ourselves, like, are we making sense? That doesn't logic to tell someone to grow up and be a child at the same time when they already don't know how to do either.
Yeah.
And that is a very good point.
And you're going to mess it up. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, no parents can be perfect. You're going to mess up all of this. Mm-hmm. And so the next important piece is that connecting afterwards. And like, I got pretty frustrated with my kids the other day and was like really short with them. And I even made my 11-year-old cry. Oh, because I'm not perfect. And so I had this conversation with them. I'm like, listen, like, this was all my fault. I'm taking full responsibility for the last 10 minutes. It was all my fault. And I'm sorry. And you can be upset about it. You can be mad about it. I am sorry. Like, I totally screwed up. Right. Because I was upset about all these other things.
I think that's so important. Yes. And I think that's something that's different that we in our generation are trying to do that our parents didn't do. Or because my mom tried to do it with me. But like apologizing to your kids when you know that you acted like your reaction was a little overboard,
like, or I snapped and I really didn't mean, like, I was angry. And they always say don't discipline in anger, but we often do. So it's like, if you didn't take that moment, apologize. Like, hey, you know what?
And only does it repair the relationship, but it shows kids that humans are imperfect. And so they don't have to be perfect and live up to that perfect ideal. And it models for them what to do whenever they get upset. Right. It's so important to do for a multitude of reasons. It's not just for that, you know, oh, I need to make sure he's not mad and we're in a good place.
A lot of times they think that it means that we're trying to be friends. And it's like, no, it's that.
That's what I was about to say.
A lot of times it's like, I'm not your friend. You just going to listen to me. And I'm like, no, I make mistakes. If I can make mistakes with adults, why can we not make mistakes and like do those same things with our children? Like, our children don't need to see us as these perfect, omnipotent, we can do no wrong people. Right. Or it's like, no, I made a mistake. I remember saying to my mom. I remember saying to my mom that we were frustrated at each other, my son and me, because we're around each other. I do virtual school. He sees me damn near 24/7. That we get frustrated. She was so confused. She was like, what do you mean he's frustrated with you? And I said, well, Mom, if I'm frustrated with him, why do you think that he wouldn't be frustrated seeing and hearing me all day? Yeah. Wouldn't that annoy the hell out of you? And she's like, but he's three. He don't have those. I said, he does have those emotions. Why do you think he does it?
Like, he don't know what they are, but he feels them.
Like, I was exactly. So she couldn't either. It was like, dude does not compute. It literally just broke her down. She was like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of goes back into what you were saying, Amanda, like, because during the suitcase situation, like, I, you know, when I was telling Stokely afterwards, it helps them see us and kind of help process, you know, everything that kind of just happened, because, you know, I'm telling him, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I know you have big feelings, I know you're upset. And I said, you know, but, you know, what did we learn? And, you know, if something's wrong, we can tell mommy. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, we don't yell at mommy. Like, mom, you know, we don't yell at people. That's not how we talk to people. And he got it right away. And I was like, well, what did we learn? It was like, the suitcase goes upstairs. And I was like, well, what else did we learn? That wasn't the important takeaway here.
Like, he's so cut and dry. He was like, the suitcase stays upstairs. And we was like, you didn't cry for 30 minutes. You didn't cry for that long.
It was like, well, what else did we learn? It's like, well, I don't yell at mommy. And I was like, that's right. Like, we don't yell when we're upset. We can use our words. And, you know, you can tell mommy that you're upset, but we don't yell. And I think, like, just, and, you know, mommy's sorry, you know, she acted this way or something like that. But I think even with him just being three, having those conversations with him, I'm hoping that it helps him as he gets older, like, learn to process his feelings and take away that, you know, because sometimes when we get older as adults and people act out on us, to have the capacity as an adult to say, oh, you're not mad at me. You got something going on right now.
Yes.
It's my favorite phrase. So, that's a you issue, and I'm going to just let you deal with you.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, a lot of parents feel huge amount of guilt for getting angry and, you know, losing it on their kids, right? Like, none of us really enjoy that. But I tell them, like, it's not the yelling that's the problem. It's the lack of the problem solving afterwards and the repairing work afterwards. If you yell and you never apologize, you never really work through what happened, you never give your kids coping skills or talk about what to do instead, you're missing huge the piece of the puzzle, right? That's mm-hmm. where they learn. It's not in the moment when they're losing their chili. It's mm-hmm. afterwards when you can connect and repair and don't forget that part. Right. And I don't think my mom ever did that for me, ever as a child.
See, and that's what I had. I didn't know that. So Sasha, I now realize that it wasn't that I was able to do whatever. I had positive parenting. My mom did practice that with me. Like she would, like we would have conversations.
I think it's funny. Your mom practiced positive parenting, but also like you can't be frustrated at 3 years old. I don't.
So that's what I mean. I was like, I don't understand how like she, like, I don't get how she has this disconnect. But I was like, I was able to fully be able to express, like, she was like, you're upset. And we would come back and we'll talk about being upset. Like, hey, I felt like this was unfair. I could say all those things. I didn't know that. I still don't know why she thinks that. Like, but they're also, like you said, with boundaries that I do the line.
And that's, I think, what is the biggest thing with kids. Because you mentioned at the very beginning, Amanda, part of it, like with the, I forgot what you called it. I'm going to call it a strong-willed child. I forgot what it was called now.
The counter-will, yeah.
Yes. So, they feel like they don't have their power, right? And yes. I think by giving kids the ability to express themselves and to have those conversations afterwards where you're like, okay, you were feeling like this, it's okay to feel like that, like it gives them some of that back. Because I do mm-hmm. a lot of the times I do think kids act out because there's, especially young kids, but there's very little that they can control. Yeah. And the one thing that they can control is how they respond to something. And exactly. So if I'm going to cross my arms and say, I'm not doing it, they feel like, okay, now I'm the one, like
I run I'm this in charge show. Now. So. It's like, okay. But that is very true. I think that one thing, like you said, Sasha, it's the learning process, because I definitely know that my child has a lot of like a long way to go in terms of like fully recognizing and getting it, but he's been able to tell me, mommy, I need to calm down. And he was like, I need to take a deep breath. And I was like, you do. And he's like, and I was, he's like, I need to calm down.
Stokey does the same thing.
Like he'll tell me, I need to calm down, or I'm upset. And I'm like, well, go ahead. Do you remember how to calm down? How do we calm down? And he would show me what to do. So I'm like, I'm doing something right. I'm not sure about the percentage there.
So one of the things I've talked about with my clients as well, is just accepting your children for who they are. Like, you have a spicy child who feels all the feelings. I am a spicy person. Like, you know, our volume dial is ramped way up. We feel all the things. I cry at the drop of a hat. I scream at the drop of a hat. Like, I just am emotional, right? Mm-hmm. Some of us are just built that way. And trying to change that with your child is going to stifle your child. It's going to cause issues with their behavior and with your behavior. It's not going to be good. So we need to accept that, yeah, we're going to have children who are going to have more counter-will. You can have some more of those highly sensitive kids and strong-willed kids. But instead of trying to change that, we need to give them tools. We need to set up an environment where they can be successful. We need to take that behavior and, you know, channel it into something a little bit more appropriate, you know. But when parents try to cap it, and when they try to stop it, and they try to, like, you know, strong will their child into being something that they're not, that's when issues are going to happen. So you're doing a great job, I think. It sounds like you're doing all that. It's hard, but
awesome. Thank you. Because I promise you, like, every once in a while, like every day I have a moment where I'm like, ah, I'm gonna throw this child across the room. I'm gonna sit down. Like, and that's my trigger.
The whole point of this episode was really just to validate Sheree's parenting with her.
To validate that I actually like, because I'm like, yo, I just want y'all to know. I be over here like every day. I'm like, hey, what you doing? I'm trying to make sure that I don't toss him around across the room. So I'm over here taking a deep breath. And they're like, what? I said, I'm taking a deep breath because I'm going to toss him if I go in there right now.
And we also can't judge our parenting on our kids' behavior. We need to judge our parenting on our reactions to our kids' behavior. Mm.
Oh, that's a great take.
I think that's the perfect way to just close the episode. Okay, we're
done. I was like, oh my gosh, that needs
I
to.
Think that's it. It's like, oh yeah, like, because your kid, it's like you said, your kid is gonna be who they're gonna be. And yes. I think a lot of times we expect our kids to be many versions of us, and we forget that they have their own personalities. Like, it's not like it could be combinations of, you know, their parents, but how they respond to things, how they act, who they are. Yeah, it's their own personality. So just because we would respond to something in a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that's how they're going to be. And so we have to remember that they are little people. So thank you so much for being on the show. I think this was such
thank
a
you
good
for letting us know that we are still works in progress and we are doing trying. Okay.
I've been doing this a little bit longer and I feel like I'm still a work in progress most days. Like, I know the stuff and I can teach stuff and it's still hard to implement some days, but most of the time we do okay. But
there we go.
And that's all I go for. I'm not ever looking for perfection with myself or any of my students or anybody. It's just
my favorite phrase is progress, not perfection.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
So thank you for having me. This is
you
really
can find.
Fun.
Thank you. Yeah, you can find Amanda. She is at messymotherhood.com. We of course will tag her on all of the good stuff on social media. We would love to hear your experiences about parenthood and if you practice positive parenting, how you manage your triggers with your children, if you are a 5 Hulk or a 1 Zen mom, and or if you fall somewhere in between.
We
would love to hear that. So you can somewhere in between. You can always email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com, or you can join the conversation that's happening right now on Instagram @swirlandsippodcast. Make sure that you subscribe, rate, and review the show. It really helps new people find our episodes, and we love to have these conversations. And of course want more people to hearing, so the rating and the reviewing definitely helps us out. If you want to be a part of our Sip Squad and hear more about the wines that we drink and have behind the scenes conversations with me and Sheree, you can always join our Sip Squad for as little as $3 a month. Literally, guys, it's a cup of coffee a month. At patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. I think I said you said where you can listen to us. We're available on all your major podcast platforms, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all that good stuff.
Can you tell that Sasha's been doing this a long time?
Yeah, I always get lost on like where I'm at in my spiel. As always, though, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.